This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. This is Tracy Murda, and today you are with the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast. Today I have a very special guest. I am welcoming from Colorado, attorney Jennifer Gersh, a partner at Nickel Gersh and Peterson Law, and also part of the Colorado lawyer team, with three office locations across the beautiful state of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jennifer. How are you doing and where are you? Which location are we talking to?
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, it is a mostly beautiful day. I would love to see clear skies eventually, but you know, we'll take the hazy, smoky, somewhat clear skies when we can. I'm currently out of my home right now in Littleton, Colorado. So somewhat close to Greenwood Village, but getting to work remotely. So that's kind of nice.
Well, and today, obviously, for the listeners and for everyone who's been listening along the past few weeks, we're obviously doing a series on talking to attorneys across the states who have been experiencing the, fallout of COVID-19 since March. And that's, as you're talking to us from your home, you know, a year ago, that probably would not have been the case. So this is very on point for where we're going with this discussion today. So Jennifer, I'd like to start when talking to attorneys about these topics, you know, bring me back to March, I suppose, when the shutdowns, you know, slowly started to roll across the world and, you know, we kind of all saw it coming, you know, somewhat short-sighted, but, what was happening in your office when it was like, okay, all of a sudden, you know, you may not be able to see people in person, for example. Colorado was a little bit further behind, if I recall, than, you know, some of the, obviously the East Coast and even where I am in Dallas.
So back in March, it was actually very interesting dynamic that was going on in our firm at that time. I actually was still on maternity leave. So my partner, Jesse, was pretty much running the firm for another 2 weeks, and I was set to come back in April. Well, I ended up coming back very early because I needed to start addressing massive COVID freakout situation. But in Colorado, we started seeing it kind of coming our way. We knew it was coming probably right around March 10th, 11th, 12th, somewhere in there. We kind of anticipated, okay, this is happening. And then by St. Patrick's Day, it was in full, okay, we're going to go on lockdown very soon. And so I believe by the end of March, Colorado was in full lockdown at that point in time. So what was interesting for Justy and myself at the time, we were Nickel Gersh at the time. We added Peterson, Brandy Peterson, in June of this year. So it was just Justy and I practicing back then, and we were already set up to do virtual. So Justy and I had the, foresight to see that we were hoping that one day the law practice would kind of turn itself upside down and right side out and flip itself on its head and go somewhere different. So we had kind of already started setting our practice up for the past year to really get ourselves in a position that we could operate virtually, that we could communicate with our clients on a virtual platform, that our staff could work virtually. So for us, it wasn't too big of a transition to get ourselves there once COVID actually kind of shut everything down.
It's been interesting talking to attorneys, some who, you know, were kind of set up for virtual versus some who, I mean, I think it took them a month to get things rolling. But what I find interesting is the attorneys that were ready to go already were, you know, dealing with clients somewhat virtually. Most of them were in or are in areas like Houston and, you know, California, areas where they were already, you know, experienced natural disasters on a regular occasion, so to speak, whether it's hurricanes or fires. So I find it very interesting living in, you know, Colorado, which is primarily our safest state when it comes to weather, I think, is what I find, that you guys were already, you know, doing that or getting prepared for that. What was sort of the reasoning or the foresight with that?
You know, Justy and I are, I like to think of us as visionaries in our field. And when I say that, I mean that we're kind of trying to see where the law practice is going to go in the future, right? The old school practice of law, where you have these stuffy offices, and you've got, you know, all these people sitting there and the client has to come in and sit in a waiting room. And it almost feels almost like a doctor's office type situation, where I just don't find that that is comfortable for a lot of clients. Many people can be more honest and comfortable and really feel like they can share their stories with you from the comfort of their own home in their pajamas. For me, I just think, you know, how can we move ourselves to a future type of practice where we're not doing that anymore? And we didn't obviously anticipate COVID. No one did. We weren't like, oh, we're going to have a pandemic coming forward. But we definitely anticipated, especially with the millennials and the future generation and how technologically savvy most people are, why don't we make this easier for people to be able to access their attorneys and not create such a, in my opinion, such a stuffy atmosphere where you have to go through and jump through these hoops to be able to meet with your attorney. Or, you know, some of our clients don't have transportation, right? Or they don't have reliable vehicles, or they work all the time and they get a 15-minute lunch break. And so having them have to come to an office to meet with us when, you know, they could easily discuss things in a more comfortable environment for them, or if they are limited on time, it just made more sense for us.
What I think is interesting too, I mean, I am not a millennial. When it comes to,
Me too.
You know, what I think is interesting though, is I still, you know, whether it's because I've worked in a virtual office for so long, or I'm just crazy multitasker, there's so much to do. There's so many, I hate, if I go anywhere, I am taking my laptop, my phone, my this, my that, so I can be working while I'm waiting. So when you say there's an option of, you know, talking to an attorney, not having to get in a car and waste 10, 15 minutes driving somewhere. I mean, if I could have surgery by, you know, being on my computer, I would do that or go to the dentist.
Absolutely.
You know? I hate breaking up my day. So I love that you guys were already, you know, knowing your audience and knowing that it's necessary. And that actually answers, you know, a question I would have already or would have asked later on is obviously, you know, once this all is over someday, please soon, you know, will you continue doing those practices, which I think I know the answer to.
Well, and you know, what's funny is I say 10 or 15 minutes, but let's be honest, most of us, at least here in Colorado, in the Denver metro area, you're not getting anywhere in 10 to 15 minutes with traffic. In most big cities, you're not getting anywhere 10 to 15 minutes in traffic. So, you know, you're actually, and then you have to park. And parking in Denver, at least downtown Denver, is awful. It's meter parking, it's pay parking. You know, I'm going to pay $15 and be here for 15 minutes. It's ridiculous. So a lot of the firms that don't have private parking lots or whatnot, or potentially are on the other side of town from the client, it's realistically taking them 45 minutes to an hour to get there, 45 minutes to an hour to get back. And then, of course, you know, the meeting time in between. So it's actually even more time than that. So, you know, I think this is where law practices might be going. I know that I've had some people bring up concerns about, I need to see my attorney in person. I need to know I'm meeting with an attorney. I need to know that I'm going to sit down with them and they're going to answer my questions. And you know what I say to that? Great. Not during a pandemic, but when the pandemic's over, I'm happy to meet with those people. And our law firm, we do have that option as well. We do actually travel to our clients. We're not doing that at the moment, But we do have that option, and we were doing that prior to the pandemic. We could have clients meet us at the office if they wanted to, or let's say a client was 45 minutes away from our nearest office location. We also can use virtual office rental space to meet with the client that's closer to them as well. And so we would pay office, we would pay basically to rent an office for an hour, had all the bells and whistles we needed, had internet, had a nice conference room, a setup, and we could meet the client closer to them. So we were offering that service, and I do plan to offer that service again once, obviously, it's safe to kind of start reconvening in person.
Tell me about what the court process was like as far as, you know, once it shut down, what happened, how things kind of started to open back up, and where things are at now.
Well, courts were a mess. That was awful for quite a while here. I anticipated the courts were going to have to shut down. They actually did not shut down right away, which was very nerve-wracking for those first couple of weeks, because at that time we didn't know.
We
didn't know anything about what was going on. I mean, for Americans, this is not a way of life. You know, for people out in Asia, they've been doing this for a long time. The mask concept to them, they were like, okay, no big deal. But for us, what, you want us to put a mask on? What is that? So, you know, for courts and for the people that would show up to courts and the attorneys and the staff, and it was very foreign. And so for those first couple of weeks, I think there was a lot of panic because, you know, you have a court date. There's a pandemic going on. Well, do I go to court? Yes, you have to go to court. So I think until they officially shut down, it was kind of a scramble. Then they figured out, okay, we can't be having court right now. This is just not safe. So they actually shut down. I think there were only a few exceptions, emergency type situations where they would allow people to come to court. And they just delayed everything for like a month, until they could figure out what they were going to do. So essentially all court dates were just pushed off. Jury trials went away, civil jury trials, criminal jury trials, all went away. They just got pushed out. Then when the courts, they kind of had to realize, okay, we can't do this indefinitely. Like, we can't just not have court, right? People need to go to court. We need to deal with these caseloads. So then they got virtual video systems, which is great because as attorneys, I mean, we're loving this. We're like, yes, we don't have to go to court. Yes, but we can still get things done. And I think it was a struggle at first. A lot of judges, especially older judges that weren't as familiar with technology and virtual technology, it took a lot of training to get judges to learn it, and not only to get judges to learn it, but to get the general population to learn it, right? Again, some people don't have computers. Some people don't have, aren't able to download apps on their phone. They just maybe have a flip phone or something where you're not able to get the virtual technology to the general population. Well, that's how you have to appear in court now. So it was this weird transition, I think, for everybody, but for the people that could pick up on the technology super quick, it was fantastic. So that once the details kind of got ironed out, I feel like now it's second nature to most people. Everyone's like, oh, I can appear on WebEx, no problem, Judge. Here you go. So it was interesting though.
You're incredibly charismatic. Do you feel like you are losing anything when you have to appear on camera versus in person, as far as being able to, you know, the way you practice law in front of a judge or a jury or, you know, your prosecutor or, you know, whatever it is, you do criminal and family law. Do you think you lose anything without that in-person contact?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because I actually find that you're gaining more. And here's why. The court is requiring, if we go in person, we have to wear a mask and we have to keep the mask on at all times as an attorney. So if I go in person with a client, which I've had to do on a couple of occasions, because it's been one of those exceptions where the court says, sorry, you need to be here with client in person. And in those cases, I have a mask on the whole time. So the judge can't see my face, right? The judge can see my eyes. If I'm like smiling, I could be sticking my tongue out behind my mask. I could be frowning, you know, I could be saying curse words under my breath to the judge and they can't see anything. So I think it's actually harder to, yes, you may physically be there, but unless you can see my face and my expressions, I think it's hard for a judge. Now I can use my hands, which I'm doing right now, which none of you can see, but so I can, you know, articulate with my hands, but I do think it's hard when you can't see someone's face to really understand the emotion and the power behind what they're trying to say. So on video, it's nice because I've got my, you know, the judge can see me and I could stick my hands in front of the video and I don't have to wear a mask in my own home. And the judge can see the nice, you know, accolades on my wall about where I graduated law school and got my degree. So it's kind of a different atmosphere, but I don't think it's hurt, at least me at all. I would think obviously if there's some attorneys who are not necessarily technologically savvy or they're not able to get their videos working, then I think, yeah, that might hurt them if they're not in person. But I think for us, it's been just fine.
What about from potential clients? Have you felt any pushback or objections to, you know, hey, I don't really feel comfortable doing this, you know, over the internet, or I don't, you know, if you do have older, I hate to say older clients, I'm sure my mother would shoot me right now, but I cannot imagine talking to my mother, like trying to get her on a Zoom call and she's only in her early. So like, do you have objections or pushback to that kind of stuff?
You know, are you talking about for appearing in court or just talking to us?
Just potential clients mostly. You know, I think a lot of people, especially when all this started and everyone went crazy and hopped on Zoom, they had breach or whatever it was, really, really shitty.
Oh yeah.
For them. Definitely. But, you know, did you hear anything from clients like, want to tell my case, the internet or, you know, anything like that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we, like I said, we were set up virtually before all of this. And so kind of getting people before the pandemic to get on board with virtual, they either were or they weren't. A lot of people would tell us, this is great. I don't have to go meet you right now. I can work. I can do whatever. Right. And then we would have certain clients who, you know, they absolutely, and I'm not going to try to insult anyone, but it was a lot of the older population because, you know, they didn't grow up with this stuff like, you know, we kind of did. So they didn't like it. They didn't understand it. They wouldn't use it. It's like my grandparents. They're in their 90s. There is no way. I don't care how much time I want to train my grandpa. He is never going to learn Zoom ever. I don't even know that he knows how to check his email. And we do have, I still think my mom has actually probably spent a total of probably like 15 hours in different times working with him and he still can't get it. And so that's okay. We do have other clients that are older that don't use any sort of, they don't know what an email is. Do you have an email that we could contact you? No, I don't use email. Can you snail mail me? Oh gosh. So, you know, there are the clients. Oh yeah. And so for us, we're kind of like, all right, well, it's a pandemic. So, we're not really meeting people in person right now, you know? And for the most part, we will try to offer whoever it is, whether they are technologically savvy or not, an option to discuss their case. If they're absolutely opposed to Zoom, and that's fine. I don't need to meet someone on Zoom. I can talk to them on the phone. You know, I don't have to see them in order to review their case or discuss their case right now. So we can talk on the phone, not secure. And like I said, if a client is very opposed to it, there are other options I can potentially work out with that client. But I will tell you right now, people are scared. You know, people are still very scared about going out in public and potentially getting the virus. At least most people are. And so I have not seen too many clients fighting back about meeting in person right now. I really find that most people just would rather stay in the comfort of their own home when they can, or, you know, work, or their wherever they're at, that their comfort level, you know, is already predetermined. They're comfortable with that. They don't have to go somewhere else and potentially risk meeting someone in person and getting the virus. I mean, that's kind of the harsh reality of it, you know? So most people have not given us too much pushback at all since the whole pandemic started.
When you're doing, let's say, you know, a consultation with a new client or a potential, how far through the process do you go online? Do you have, you know, some sort of virtual way of sharing your contract, or you're, you know, getting them to sign and pay, you know, in that moment? I think I get a lot of pushback from, we have a virtual closing system, and clients immediately, or attorney clients, are like, well, if I, you know, if I'm doing this online and then I have to send them something, I'm going to lose them after, you know, I let them go without being in person, you know, having them sign a paper right in front of us. How have you kind of gotten around those types of things, especially since you guys started doing this stuff earlier than the rest of us?
And it was really interesting. I love it now. I can't imagine going back to the old way of things. We have an electronic signature system for our engagement agreement. And then we've got set up to our CRM software. We also have a legal pay option. So what happens is, if the person says, yes, I want to sign you, I want to go forward, then we send them an email that has a literally click here, click on this link, and they open up the link and it's their engagement agreement. And at the bottom, it says, click here to electronically sign. And they click there and hit send. Boom. It goes right to us. And we get a copy of that immediately. And then click here to make a payment. And all you have to do is go on, put your credit card information in or your checking account information and click send, and boom, payment goes in. So it's a really easy option. You don't even have to call. You don't have to give a credit card over the phone. You don't have to run it. They can do it themselves. It's also nice if you have a client that is on a payment plan. So potentially if they're not getting all of their payment up front, but they're going to pay over a couple of weeks or a month or a couple of months, you can set up recurring payments where they're getting an email saying, hey, here you go. Here's your invoice for this month. Click here, make your payment. Or, you know, we can keep their credit card in a safe, stored way and then enter their credit card information on that date. So it's made it really easy. And again, we have had very few people have issues with it. We do also have staff that are there to help. So some of my clients that have not been able to figure out how to do it, then we just have them talk to our staff and the staff will help them do it right over the phone. So it's been pretty great.
You mentioned earlier, I thought it was interesting because part of our virtual close program is we talk about, you know, coaching attorneys through, you know, setting up their scene, so to speak. What are some useful props? You know, you talked about having, you know, some of your accolades in the background, your diplomas, and, you know, I know some attorneys are using whiteboards or Zoom whiteboards, those types of things. What are some things that you think are helpful that, hey, you might as well take advantage of while you have this video conferencing?
Well, it's interesting. I've actually set my background a number of times, my Zoom background. Now I've changed it to different things depending on my mood. So sometimes I'll have like a random like dog in the background. I'm like, well, you know, some clients might get some humor out of that. Probably not for the courts, but for, you know, for some clients, I'm like, oh, they like dogs. This will be perfect. I'll just put a picture of my dog back there. And so I think you can just kind of appeal to your audience with that. But I will say one of the biggest things that has been great for us is share screen. So you can share your screen. So when I'm doing a discovery review, strategy review with one of my clients, I can share my screen with them if I'm doing Zoom. So I can show them, here's the report and I've highlighted here. Do you see that? Or here's an Excel spreadsheet. Can you see that? So it's like, you can also give them a visual of their case or what's going on that you want to show them in their case. And so they can see that as well. The other thing that we implement is we use Dropbox it works for us, and that's our client file share system that we do. And so we can have the client access their Dropbox, their entire file, prior to setting a meeting with us, so that they can also review their case and go over questions that they might have. And so then when we're doing those types of sessions, they're really productive, because they've had a chance to already go through it as well. Whereas in before all of this, you know, I was going to print out all of the reports, and how was I going to get that to them ahead of time? You know, so they haven't even had an opportunity to look at it. Now, all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's my electronic file. I can look at it with Adobe. You can mark it up, you know, highlight things, put notes on it. Everything has a way electronically to just be stored somewhere or to be viewed. And it just makes it so much easier when we're working with clients. So that part, that has been awesome as well.
I love that. So it sounds like, I mean, I guess my, you know, based on what you're saying, my recommendation to other attorneys, if they aren't already doing these things, is, you know, play with it, practice, do, you know, mock sessions where you are getting comfortable with the tools within, you know, Zoom or within Adobe or whatever it is. And it can be a lot of fun. I mean, I've played with it myself a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun.
Just to see all of a sudden, it's like, hey, I didn't know they had this. I didn't know they had that. And then when you're getting in front of your potentials, I mean, there you are. You're ready and well-versed at, you know, what to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really interesting. There's just so many apps and so many programs and so much technology. It can be overwhelming, but it also is so cool, because you just don't have to do things the way that things used to be done anymore. And you can still be very effective and very communicative with your clients. And so I think, yeah, I would highly recommend getting in there and trying some of these programs and going to your colleagues and saying, hey, you know, what are you guys using for CRM? What are you guys using for client management software? What are you using for, you know, are you using Zoom? Are you using Microsoft Office or Microsoft Teams? Yeah, there's a bunch of options for people to use to communicate with clients, to store client files, to make notes on a file rather than writing notes on a file. You can electronically do notes on a file. I have my office set up now, and I will never go back to, I have two ginormous monitors and my laptop. And so now I can use, and some people I know even have three monitors. So you can have one thing posted on one monitor, one thing posted on another monitor, something else on my laptop. And I can literally be looking at different monitors and looking at the same case, but looking at different papers or reports or something like that.
And it's spread out over your desk.
Exactly. Exactly. I actually get mad now, Tracy, when I have to print something. I'm actually cursing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm wasting paper. This is making me mad. I'm not okay with this. I do not want to use this printer. Like, I don't want to print anything up anymore.
You're better than me. My thought is, do I really have to stand up and walk over there?
Oh, no, I just don't want to deal with a printer. And I for sure don't want to buy another cartridge, like a print cartridge, an ink cartridge. Are you kidding me? I think the one I've had in my printer, yeah, the one I've had in my printer is probably like, ugh. Like 8 months, and they're so expensive. I'm like, I'm not spending $100 anymore on that. Like, I'd rather just buy a new printer at this point, you know? So I don't think I've replaced my cartridge. I'm not even going to lie. I don't think I've replaced my cartridge since like last year. I'm pretty sure.
I hate to tell you, but they do dry up after a while.
In case you
run into trouble.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Well, so far we've been good, but I also have printed like 2 pages of paper. Like, I think I've printed up 2 pages in the last like 3 weeks. I was like, okay, fine. I have to print this up because I had to sign it. I couldn't do it electronically. So that's another thing I would also say is anytime you can do electronic signatures now, there's always a printout page that says, hey, this is an electronic signature that came from this email. So that you know it's legit, and courts are accepting that. So, you know, it's definitely a great option for attorneys to use, that you don't have to meet with the person in person, right? Like you can just get their electronic signature on documents, which is, and then file it. It's like, and then the courts are like, yeah, no problem. It's like, sure, we'll accept that. No problem.
Well, I think everyone is finally getting in the same boat as in, like, let's just make life as easy as possible if we can, you know, it's like, it's
absolutely
get on the same page and make this, you know, there's no reason if someone doesn't have to go in somewhere to a courthouse or, you know, file a paperwork this way or that, then there should be just no need. Is there anything that you have come across that you wish you knew better or that, you know, you're how other attorneys are handling? I ask because I like to put it out there so that when we're interviewing other attorneys, you know, they can, for this, let me talk about that in my interview. It sounds like you guys are running quite a good ship here as far as your online, you know, knowledge and know-how. And just, I think number one is just being comfortable with these different systems. That's, I can't stress that enough. Like just having that fluid confidence in that carries through to the potential client for sure.
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you're not comfortable with your technology, you're going to come across as that to the client and it's not going to be, you know, a good look for the attorney. So definitely having confidence. I mean, it was a learning curve for us for sure. I mean, cause we're all of a sudden getting used to a system and then we find a better system. And so we're like, well, this system will handle A, B, but it'll also handle C and D. So because it's going to handle C and D, it's going to make our workflow and how we're going to interact with these regular issues for these clients easier. Let's learn this new system. And so when we're doing that, that can be kind of a learning curve because we're teaching the whole staff how to do it and ourselves. And it's human nature. You kind of start liking what you do every day. You get into a habit, you get into a routine. I don't want to change this. I don't want to learn something new. But unfortunately with technology, you know, you can't really hold yourself back at all. You have to be willing to kind of go with the flow. Oh, and then when your computer decides it doesn't want to turn on or, you know, some of the technology snafus that come up, that can get really frustrating because then everything that you ever know is now not accessible because it's all on the computer. So then those people that say, oh, well, I'm glad I wrote this down or I'm glad I have a paper file. Okay. Every now and then there might be a time that they might be right. But you just get it backed up, you know, you just
one drive is for.
Exactly. That's where it's one drive is for.
I live and breathe by my one drive.
Oh yeah. You have to back up your stuff. And then we have offsite. I would recommend that too, as having someone offsite back it up as well. Someone you trust that you
absolutely
you pay to do that as well. So that way, if something does happen, you're not going to lose your stuff ever.
Do you want to hear, this is going to further back up your no paper plans here. I heard yesterday, I interviewed an attorney out of Houston and her story of why she will never, ever go back to paper document. She said the attorney down the street, they had a hurricane blow through, of course, and his paper documents were literally spread throughout the streets. I mean, I'm talking
social
security numbers, case details, you know, I mean, mind you, this was many, many years ago, but she said that was like, nope. Never touching paper again. So that further backs up your strong choice to stay away from the paper.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing. Like if something happens, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, what if it happens? You know, because we have all those forest fires going on right now. And like the entire West Coast is pretty much on fire. It's awful. But, you know, in Colorado, we don't have anything necessarily in Denver, but I think about that stuff. I'm like, okay, well, what happens if, you know, like something horrible happens? You know, what are the things that I would need to grab out of the house if I had 10 minutes to leave, you know? And it's like, before I was like, oh my gosh, I'd have to get my files. How would I do the files? And now I'm like, shit, I don't even care if I grab my computer. I get my baby, the husband and the dogs and anything else. I don't care because it's all backed up. So anything relating to my work, I don't have to worry about. And that's kind of peace of mind, you know, that I don't need to stress about that because that's terrifying, right? What happened to that person? I mean, that's awful if that were to happen to, you know, anyone, right? You lose your entire work life, essentially.
Well, Jennifer, this has been such a pleasure, and you have shared so many great tips. I hope any attorney that starts into action, time, and clients, I think, actually now, like you said, you have to go out, and also just, I mean, like myself, I just went there. So if you meet an attorney online,
exactly,
I'm way more likely to go that way. Thank you so much for your time. I know you are a very busy woman, a young little baby, but I appreciate it. And, you know, we look forward to hearing any new tips you come up with. We'll follow up with you and hear, you know, what's working again and, you know, back to normal in this world.
Back to normal, the new normal.
The new normal. How things have changed, or, you know, maybe how you've stayed the same as far as your virtual processes. So again, I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
And we wish you well.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I would love to come back. So thank you.
Awesome.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.